And you know what this pastor said, which I got turned off. The businessman, after seeing that pastor, was so confused and didn't know where to go, what to turn to, because he was receiving wrong counsel. And this pastor said this. Because that businessman had a hard time in finances. I'm talking in terms of millions of dollars, right? I'm not talking about small things. So, I'm talking about big guns, not small pistol, right? So, now, and this pastor said this to him. And I want to listen carefully so that you and I will not do those things. We must learn to have integrity. He said that you must give your tithes to me. And if you start giving your tithes, God will restore you. And I'll pray for you and you'll be restored. And then the businessman said, I don't intend to attend your church, and I'm not sure, you know, whether I want to attend your church. He said, doesn't matter where you go. But when God sets you free, it's because of my prayers. That man came to see me, and I said this first thing, I was very strong about that. I said, that's a spiritual con man. That is intimidation and gangsterism clothed in shepherd's skin. And I said, that is not scripture, it's not biblical for a person to use his spiritual position to do all those things. And so, you know, I was strong about that. And to give a strong word to the person and say, if that is true, I mean, then later on, because I know that pastor, I checked with somebody who used to attend his church, and he never shared all these bad news to me, because he know I don't like to hear bad news about other people. I said, just ask you a question, is this person like that kind of a person? He said, yes. So I said, well, let's pray for him. But here is where a person is claiming credit for God's answer because he or she prayed. Have you ever heard when somebody gets healed? No? Sometimes those who have prayed for it say, oh, you know, do you know I pray one? Why is it important that we know it's you who prayed, you know? Why not emphasize it's God who has answered? See, there's something wrong in our in that kind of Christianity. It has become too much of a show business kind of thing. And these are things that displeases God. And we need to recognize that whether you pray, whether I pray, it's God who does the healing, like Paul says. Whether I do the sowing, Apollos do the sowing, it's God who did the growing. So it's important for us to understand that there is a delegated measure of God's presence, and you could use it effectively and even claim credit for it if you're not taught properly in God's Word. Why? Because God did delegate it to you. That is how gifts get abused. Paul never said to the Corinthians that your gifts were not genuine. Never. He said all their gifts were genuine, but they used it for the wrong area. It was a misuse. Now, Paul also talked about people who use gifts or who preach the gospel for gain in the book of Philippians. He talked about that. Some preach the gospel out of good things. Some preach the gospel out of wrong things and wrong motives and all these areas. But they all in the end preach the gospel so he can just at least thank God for that. But that tells us something. That a delegated presence can be abused and misused, although this is what I personally believe, God will not tolerate it for long. But there is a grace period, because for some reason, He's much more kind than us. We would have pulled it straight away, pulled the carpet off the person. But God doesn't. He's so tolerant. We are surprised at His mercy. But there is a delegated presence. When you have a gift of God and you have anointing of God that is delegated to you, be faithful. But do you know that we must learn to point it to Jesus? It may not automatically point to Jesus. See, when somebody gets blessed by your gift, they will not automatically point it to Jesus. Sometimes they will, sometimes they don't. So some of them will say, "You must be Jesus himself." Or someday, "You better quickly say, 'No, I'm not. He is there.'" Do you know that this happened in the book of Acts? In Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John were on the way to a prayer meeting, and they healed the man who was lame from his mother's womb, and that man was leaping and walking and praising God, and the whole crowd had gathered, and all the people were staring at Peter and John as if they are gods. And Peter and John had to say, "Man, why are you looking at us? We are ordinary men like you." He says it's not by our own holiness, not by our own righteousness or works that this healing has done, but by the mighty name, faith in that mighty name of Jesus that brought healing. You see, it was their job to point it to Jesus. It was not the people who receive it, because the people wouldn't know. That is what the gospel is about. The gospel is about us who receive a delegated presence of God, using it faithfully, and getting the results, and pointing it back to Him. Now, some people don't like to point to Him because they want some attention. To me, they are just little babies who haven't grown up. Do you know all babies naturally want attention? So some people just never grew up. They could be 40-year-old babies, 50-year-old babies, or 70-year-old babies. They still want attention. So we realize that there is a delegated presence, but it's different, my friend, from the personal presence. That is what we want. Which is what David realized. He has a gifting of God to lead the people. He has a gifting of God to wage warfare, to lead an army. It was God's gift in David's life. It was God's anointing in David's life. But David realized there's nothing like the Ark of the Covenant, which in his days represented God's personal presence among his people. Not his full presence, of course, but a manifestation, a measure of his personal presence indwelling among his people. And David said in the book of 1 Chronicles, David said in chapter 13, David said, "I want the ark to be right where I stay. I want the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. I want the presence of God." And that's what is important, that David treasure after. You see, we could have a call of God, we could establish a church, and we could do everything God wants, but if we forget to hunger and thirst for His presence, everything will be right, but there's still that something missing. His personal presence. God's personal presence. And there's nothing like God's personal presence. His pillar of cloud and pillar of fire still is given today in a different way, where people will know that Jesus is there. Which is what he wants to do. So in dealing with the ark, David failed the first time because he didn't follow God's instruction. Just as the rod and the army came at the time of the valleys, the personal presence will only come if you strictly follow His instructions. Exactly to the detail how He wants it. See, God says in chapter 1 Chronicles 15, later when Uzziah died, they realized that God didn't want His ark to be taken on a cart. He wants it to be transported by the priests. Then they realize a great mistake. If you want God's personal presence, you have to get your methods right. If you want God's delegated presence, you have to get your principles right. Because when we get His principles right, and we operate the gift according to His principles, we will tap on certain things. But then, when you get your methods right, exactly the way, we are not just dealing with principles here, we are dealing with methods. They had a new method, bringing it on a cart. But God wanted the old-fashioned method of the priest carrying the ark, that He has established in His own way. And David in chapter 15 realized, hey, let's do it God's way. When we get our methods correct, then God's presence comes. Do you know that you could organize an entire meeting and have the principles behind the meeting correct, the objectives, the purpose, the goals of the meeting correct, and you will have a certain measure of blessing. But until you get the exact methods that God wants to use, precise and correct, you don't get His personal presence. It's that particular. Because it's only when you can hear clearer that you can hear under the methods area. There are different degrees of hearing God. The first degree is hearing His principles. The second degree is hearing His methods. The third thing, which is precious, when they brought the ark in chapter 17, David had a desire to do more for God. And David said to the prophet Nathan in chapter 17 verse 1, I want to build God a temple. And Nathan, because he knew that's a good idea, says, go ahead. But that night, God told Nathan to tell David not to do it because it was not for him to build a temple, it was for his son. But then God made a covenant with David in chapter 17. A special covenant. And look at chapter 17. Let's look at verse 14, 13 and 14. I will be his father and he shall be my son. And I will not take my mercy away from him as I took it from him who was before you. And I will establish him in my house and in my kingdom forever. And his throne shall be established forever. And David felt so humble. In verse 27, David says, now you have been pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue before you forever. In other words, God said to David, saying, David, I will promise you that your heir will be a ruler forever. Now, we all know the story that along the line, some of his heirs didn't live right with God. And God's mercy continued on their life until God couldn't stand it anymore. And the whole thing was cut off. And in the end, it was redone again in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that Jesus is also known as the Son of David, one of his titles. To show that God kept his promise to David. Because all his descendants could not keep it fully. But in the end, it fell on Jesus Christ, the root of Jesse, son of David. And so here, God made a personal covenant and a personal promise. Do you know that a covenant that is given to us need to be personally renewed? Even though God made a covenant with Abraham in chapter 15 of Genesis, Isaac has to have his personal relationship with God. After Abraham died, God personally revealed to Isaac and said, Isaac, he was in a time of famine. Isaac wanted to go to Egypt. God said, don't go to Egypt.